Observation Deck brought to us by A Number One Air. And before we get to your Angeline story, I just want to let everybody know how insane Gordo is. Yesterday, I checked my phone, and I have two messages from him. And this week, he's gotten into Rick Skinlonen.
I can't believe he's busting me on this.
But as I've described it, he's made him post-lobotomy Rick Skinlonen, because you've really dumbed down a very nice character. He's still very nice, but you've made him uber simple. And these are the two messages I got. They were both audio files. And I'm just going to let you listen to what he sent me yesterday, because he had absolutely nothing else going on.
Do you know what my favorite thing to do is? Be nice to people.
And then he sent me this one.
Hi, Craig. Do you know what one of my friends can do? He can beatbox. It's so cool. We wrote a rap melody together. It's called Here's Your Manners.
A rap song called Use Your Manners.
A rap melody.
Melody.
Oh, he's so impressed. His friend can beatbox. He's like living in the 80s or something.
And you know how ridiculous it is. You can't even get it out.
Use Your Manners. Oh, God.
Do you think that would
worst
go over?
Rap song of all time.
Would that go over big in the rap community? Use Your Manners.
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Oh.
Hi, Craig.
Make it stop,
you know,
please.
What one of my friends can do? He can beatbox. It's so cool. We wrote a rap melody together. It's called Here's Your Manners.
Oh, God. Why are you looking at us like that, George?
I'm just listening.
Oh, no, you hate our joy.
I know. I'm glad you guys find joy out of it. It just is. I can't believe you have the energy to laugh, because this character never shuts up.
What?
He's with us 24
that?
Hours a day,
okay.
Off air, on air, on air,
yeah.
Off air,
but
still
you,
there,
but
leaving
you
message
love
everywhere.
Him.
No, I don't. I hate him.
Whoa.
Nobody hates Rick Skinlonen.
I do. Yes, they do.
He's the nicest human ever.
There are anti-Coco and anti-Rick Skinlonen people out there.
He's so sweet, though.
And I represent them.
He's so sweet.
He's the nicest guy ever.
He may not be the coolest guy in the world.
I don't care. That doesn't matter. He's just a pain in the ass.
God. Anyway, that made...
You know it's taking years off your life.
That made me laugh yesterday when I got those messages from Rick Skinlonen.
See, he brought joy to someone.
That's good. He's killing me.
Well, don't you want to hear his...
Slowly. He's killing you, too. You even admitted that the other day.
Rap melody?
No.
What?
I'm sure I'll hear it later. That's all you do.
Oh, man. We could produce a really funny, very unhip rap song by Rick Skinlonen called Use Your Manners.
You know, I determined...
Like a Trophy Nissan rap.
He's a more exuberant version of Kip Dynamite.
Yes.
They're kind
very
of
similar.
Built the same.
Uh-huh.
They both think they're cool.
That's right. And you like Kip Dynamite, George?
Yeah, he was funny.
And you created the Skinlonens, George.
It's the worst thing I've ever done.
God.
I wish I could get a time machine just to go back and not do that.
I've already looked into them. They don't work.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've been doing some research on them.
Okay.
Simple.
So, last night I was telling you guys earlier that I went out to dinner with my friend Ricky, who lives out here in L.A., and he's a producer, an editor out here, has worked on some of your favorite reality shows, some of the most popular reality shows.
America's Got Talent.
For them.
Right?
Never mind. He's worked on a lot of them. He's worked on Bachelor and worked on Apprentice for quite some time. He's actually appeared on The Apprentice.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was some project that Trump's had, I don't know, it was like John Lovitz and Vanilla Ice do or something like this. They had to make a video, and Ricky's seen there alongside John Lovitz. They're working out, you know, how to put together this video.
That's pretty cool.
And it looks like Ricky's choking back his dissent of the opinions of John Lovitz. Anyway. So Ricky came up because we used to be in bands together, and so we were going to get together and jam last night. So we go out to dinner, and we go to Mimi's Cafe. And as we're sitting in there, there's not too many people in there. In walks this older woman who was, she drew your eye because she was dressed in this real short skirt, had this crazy hair. She kind of looked like Charo Piazzadora. You know, that kind of real garish-looking starlet who is now aging. And she walks by me, and I just think, oh, it's just an eccentric that lives out here in the Ventura area. And so Ricky goes, hey, you know who that is? I go, no. He said, that's Angeline. I think he said Angeline or Angeline. Y-N-E. And I said, well, who is she? I don't know who that is. And he goes, she's real famous in L.A. I said, for what? He goes, just for being famous. She got famous like in the 80s and 90s because there were these billboards that went up all around town that had her posing in like a bikini on it on the billboards. And it just had her name and had a number below it. And turns out, he goes, yeah, and they did a big expose on her, like, last year, in which they revealed her real identity because it was such a big mystery as to who Angeline really was. No one knew. And then the Hollywood Reporter came out with this big investigative piece uncovering her real identity, and she denied it all. He said she's real famous for driving around like the Barbie Corvette. It's a pink Corvette that she always is in a pink Corvette, drives around town. And there's actually a Twitter account posted of Angeline sightings where people will put pictures of her in her pink Corvette, like one at the top of the Twitter feed is her pink Corvette parked outside of Goodwill. So she goes in and she sits down and on the other side of the restaurant, and we have this conversation about Angeline, who I'd never heard of, but every person who lives in LA
knows
who she is because she was the prototype, the forerunner of Paris Hilton, Kim Kardashian, those type women who got famous for just being famous.
Mm-hmm.
And they were able to, of course, parlay theirs into lots of money. And Angeline never really was to get financial success because she was in the pre-internet age and all this. So she just basically sells T-shirts of herself outside of the back of that. Out of the back of that Corvette. Which is pretty beaten.
But she doesn't look like that anymore. She has gray hair now, silver hair.
Yeah, she was really pretty back in the day when they uncovered her identity. It turns out that she was this woman who grew up. She was the daughter of Holocaust survivors. She was actually born, I think, in Poland. And then her family moved to Israel, and then when she was like, 14, she moved to the L.A. area, ended up dating and marrying a Hollywood producer's son.
Oh.
And they had a short-lived marriage, and then when they divorced, she changed her name from Renee Goldberg to Angeline Lynn. And that's when she created this persona, and in a lot of ways, it is the amazing L.A. story of wanting to be famous and want to be concealed at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
She's done everything she possibly could to try to keep her real identity private. She wanted a new persona. She wanted to escape her humdrum life, and she invented this personality that became famous around town in a town of fame.
Did she get her modeling work? Did she just do?
She would do modeling work. She would appear bit parts in films and in videos and things like that, but she never was able to fully capture the success that later people like Kardashians did, where they just create a reality show.
That was before they'd pay someone just to show up to a club for $100,000.
Right. But she has all this pink merchandise. She's just, and she talks in the baby kind of voice, like a lot of the Paris Hiltons and such did. But now, she is 67 years of age, still drives around town in that pink Corvette wearing short skirts, mini skirts.
So when she came into your restaurant last night, did all heads turn?
Well, we were the only two heads.
Oh.
Except well, that's 100%.
Her and her friend. And yeah, there was another middle-aged couple that was across the way from us, and they all looked at her.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help but look at her even if you didn't know who she was.
Yeah.
I mean, she is such a visually arresting person. And so, yeah, that was my run-in with fame that I didn't even know was famous. But yeah, but it's a sad story because she's never been successful.
Yeah.
She's incredibly famous with no money.
Yeah, I was looking at her Wikipedia page, and she has appeared bit roles in a lot of TV and movies, and but her celebrity net worth page says she's worth $500,000. Do you think that's even a stretch?
It may be a stretch, because I think she gets those Corvettes for free, because dealerships like being associated with her.
Right.
Because she's the most famous Corvette driver in L.A.
Could she still do the splits?
I doubt it. She's 67. She can't do the splits without breaking both hips.
So does she keep doing it like when she's 80? What's she going
to
do?
Oh, I think if you're like this, you ride it to the very end.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Hollywood Reporter, she denied their story and was real evasive about it and everything because she wants no part of her previous life.
Mm-hmm.
She invented herself. In the town of make-believe, she invented herself and wants to stick with it. And, man, you look at old pictures and pin-up posters of her.
Yeah, she was attractive.
Very attractive. But I got my picture out in front of, maybe I'll tweet out the picture of me standing in front of that pink Corvette.
Yeah.
Looking like an idiot, being an Angeline fan.
All right, that's a legit brush with greatness, Gordo and Angeline.
Yeah, both sharing a chicken fried steak from across the room from each other.
All right, that's the O-Deck coming up here in a few minutes. We're here at Cowboys Training Camp in Oxnard, and time to muse in the news with Gordo, brought to us by D&M Leasing and All-Pro Foundation Repair.
Well, Craig, this is what we know about the Irving parking garage collapse. It happened on that, it was very weird because it happened right before lunchtime on Tuesday, 11:30 a.m., a portion of the garage's second level, measuring 40 feet by 40 feet, collapses. And so, of course, you had news copters out there covering for the news, and then as they were shooting it at 4:30 p.m., that's what caused the second section to collapse. And people were going up there and getting their cars in between those two collapses. And two of the women who were going out to get their car,
Jigna Bavishi
and her friend
Eva Yu.
If Eva had not stopped to tie her hair back, those women would have been crushed.
Wow.
They paused for just a few moments before they got to that section that ended up collapsing. And for one of them put their hair back, and that's what kept them from getting killed or dead in the second collapse.
Wow.
Yeah, no kidding. So now Lincoln Properties, which manages the parking garage, they have to have a guard standing by 24 hours a day to keep people out of that thing until they can get structural engineers to declare that it's either safe or that they have to destroy it. 20 cars were destroyed in the collapses, but there are many others that are trapped back behind the area, and they can't get them out yet.
Huh. All of those cars that are still okay, I don't know how you get them out if you have to destroy the garage. Don't you destroy the cars along with it?
Well, yeah, if you tear down the parking garage, but I'm assuming that they'll get those cars out. They've got to get them out.
There's got to be a way to get
them
out.
Can't you send a guy in there with a scuba outfit?
Well, that's going to help.
You could do that. I don't know that it would help, but yeah, you could send a guy with a scuba outfit in.
Well, it's protective gear. Of course, I always think that I could survive a parking garage collapse, because I would just quickly look up and get between the, you know, the little, some of those parking garages, they have those spaces.
Yeah.
That, so it's kind of like joists that run across there, concrete joists. And if you get between the concrete joists, then you can survive, and not only survive, but thrive in a collapsed parking garage.
Well, you really thought this out.
Situation.
You're claiming you would thrive in that environment.
I think I would do better than most, yeah. Because I think about situations beforehand. I'm a survivalist.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have planned out what I would do in the event of a parking garage collapse. And a lot of people haven't.
I think that's smart.
Hey, if you...
You're brilliant.
If you fail to prepare, you better prepare to fail.
Amen to that.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would have survived easily. And
you'd scream and get pelted by concrete in seconds and not survive.
I tell you, the pancaking parking garage is a big fear of mine. That's what happened in that San Francisco earthquake. Remember that?
On the bridge?
No. It was the San Francisco earthquake. Didn't they have a parking garage that pancaked down?
Oh, maybe.
No, that bridge thing you're talking about, that happened up in Milwaukee or somewhere? Where did that happen?
No, there was a bridge that...
that was in
going
Miami,
to, going
right?
to Oakland during the earthquake.
Oh, the earthquake.
And the top level hit the bottom level.
But what was the one that we just had this year?
That was Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota.
I thought that was Miami. It was University of Florida International or something, the bridge that collapsed
across the road.
There was a
bridge there, too. Pedestrian bridge, right?
Okay, yeah. Yes. I'm actually thinking of this one that you're talking about, Junior. But I also remember the one in Minnesota that happened. Uh-huh. That was a highway, wasn't it?
Yeah. Part of 35, I think.
Oh, man, that was creepy. But the one that happened down there in Florida, there's that disturbing story of the car that was going up under the bridge at the moment it collapsed, and it fell in such a way that the dude in the passenger seat survived.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much unscathed. But he looks over and basically saw his friend crushed. She was completely flattened by the bridge.
And there was that live taped disturbing video that went live to tape.
What?
What?
Of it actually,
scuba gear?
Of actually collapsing on the cars.
Yes.
You know, you saw it happening. God, that was so disturbing.
Dust. It was like dash cam footage from a car that was approaching the bridge.
It was live to tape.
Now, I'm not saying that I could thrive in that situation. If I was completely crushed by a pedestrian bridge.
Okay.
Hey, I'm glad nobody was hurt in this Irving garage.
I think that's pretty incredible.
I'm actually pretty surprised by that, because when it's approaching lunchtime, you would have people in and out of that garage at that time, and no one was in that section.
If that woman's hair hadn't been a total mess, then they would have been in trouble.
I don't know that it was a total mess. She was just putting it back. Don't you always love watching girls put their hair back?
Yeah, why is that? That is great.
They just do it so gracefully and so quickly.
I know.
I've always loved that when I was a kid, the way they magically move through the world.
And they can tie it in a bun so quickly.
Yeah, without any sort of hair tie or anything. They can take just their hair and whip it around into that little rope and then curl it up on their head.
They're like hair magicians.
They are. Women are hair magicians. Some of them may be actual hair magicians. 20 vehicles lost their lives.
Did you ever see Hairdini? He was the most famous hair magician.
No. That's, I can't remember the name. It was somebody Dini. Who Dini was it? It was some...
Oh, man.
In other
news.
Yes, certainly. In other news. Oh, by the way, there was a radio station that shared that parking garage. So we could have lost some broadcast brethren.
What
brethren,
station?
Brethren. I think it's brethren.
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 What station?
The Guadalupe Radio Network. Very close friends of ours.
We share a lot of listeners with them.
Yep. Name some of their shows.
The Guadalupe Report.
Perez and the Mad Dog. Isn't that one?
Mm-hmm. The Guadalupe line.
Famous baseball player.
Tony Perez?
Yeah, Tony Perez. Mm-hmm. Not Tony Pena, who is the greatest catcher of all time in Major League Baseball. Okay, the suspect that they have in the gunning down of that cardiologist. Another really creepy story. Dr. Mark Hosnick, 65-year-old cardiologist, was riding his bicycle to work, which he did because he was a cardiologist. He believed in health. And you see a guy in the early morning hours down there in Houston on surveillance video, and the guy who is also on a bike turn around and follow this doctor, this cardiologist, and shot him off of his bike.
Back bike on bike 20. Crime?
Yes, very rare.
Very rare.
So, Joseph James Pappas has a warrant out for his arrest in this case. He is a 62-year-old man. That's also rare to see a 62-year-old man kill a 65-year-old man.
It is?
Yeah. My theory is that when you're in your 60s, you're least prone to commit crime. When you get into your 70s, you will see old men killing other old men. And in the 50s, you will see that. But the 60s, you generally don't.
Okay.
Just pay attention to it.
You have data to back that up, or is that just your theory?
It's a theory now.
Okay.
But the data will be easy to find.
Okay.
So the Houston police chief down there says that Pappas was nursing a grudge. It was a 20-year-old grudge that he had against that cardiologist.
Wow.
Because his mother was a patient of Dr. Hocknick's, and she died on the operating table.
Wow.
20 years ago.
20 years he's been harboring those thoughts?
Yes. And he's had that grudge. And so they think that he did this, and he's still on the loose. They issued a warrant for his arrest, but they don't have him in custody. He's considered dangerous and suicidal. And they say they have found, they didn't release the details, but they say they found evidence that clearly ties him to the crime.
Damn.
Mm-hmm. And he's famous, the cardiologist is famous, because he appeared with the elder George H.W. Bush. Yeah. He operated on his heart. I think heart surgery is both miraculous and of the devil.
Okay.
Yeah, because the way they crack open your chest and they take the heart out and they set it on top of your body and then they work all over it.
Isn't that crazy?
It's crazy.
I remember when my grandfather had open heart surgery, and I found out, he was telling me about it beforehand. He's talking about how they crack open the chest. And that just scarred me so badly.
I know.
Hearing about how they break your sternum. There was a good family friend of ours who was a nurse. And she, of course, attended many surgeries. And she said the one that made her the most squeamish was the open heart surgery, when they basically put a car jack in your rib cage jack it up until the sternum cracks open.
Terrible. God, that's terrible. There's got to be a better way.
Up with better technology since she told me this, but
can't you go in up under the rib cage and just clear everything out?
No, they have to break it open. And then they take your still living heart out, and they try to show it to the patient before he goes under the anesthesia. No.
And the doctor is supposed to scream and laugh maniacally.
Right.
Nope.
But in those like bypass machines and stuff, it seems real creepy when your heart's not hooked up. Like they're using a machine to circulate your blood while they're doing stuff with your heart that's flopping around like a catfish on the pier deck.
I don't think it's flopping.
They have to hit it with a hammer a couple times to get it to stop flopping.
No. Well, do they stop the heart beating?
That's what I always thought.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that not creepy?
Yeah.
It's very creepy. Yeah. Because at that moment, your soul goes to purgatory.
See, you have some Catholic beliefs that I'm not so sure of.
He's not either.
I'm not quite in full agreement on, but I understand that's the way you view it.
I appreciate that.
As soon as your heart stops beating, you go to purgatory and you get called back in when they shock it back to life. Anyway.
Right. Other news.
Yes, in other news. Alaska Airlines is apologizing to a gay couple, George.
Why aiming this at me?
Because you have a Google alert for gay couple Alaskan Airlines news.
No.
So they're apologizing because a flight attendant asked a gay man to give up his seat next to his gay partner.
I mean, he's gay. Excuse me. He's blind.
So a straight couple could sit together.
Really?
Huh.
According to these guys, this is what happened. David Cooley, who is the owner of a gay bar in West Hollywood, he said that he wrote on his Facebook page that he and his partner had boarded a flight to Los Angeles from New York when a flight attendant asked if Mr. Cooley's partner would move from his seat so a couple could sit together.
Maybe she didn't know they were a couple.
Well, that doesn't matter. I don't care.
Just like if they us sitting together, they would say, hey, would you mind moving so they could...
Shut up. I don't want context. No, so he tells the attendant that the two men were a couple and that he wanted to sit with his partner, who is gay.
His gay lover.
Well, yes, but they're just partners. Anyway, and then the flight attendant, according to Cooley, gave his partner a choice. Either you move for the other couple... or you get off the plane.
Well, that's wrong.
Right. And so the gay couple said they couldn't bear the humiliation for an entire cross-country flight being split up, and so they left the plane. And he, of course, posted on social media, and Alaska Airlines comes out, and they tweet. These are always funny to me when they start...
putting their hat over their heart.
An unfortunate seating mix-up occurred this weekend. Full LGBTQ equality is a value we share.
Ah.
And then they had a longer statement that said, it is our policy to keep families seated together whenever possible. Deeply sorry for the situation. And intend to make Mr. Cooley and his partner feel... we didn't intend to make him feel uncomfortable anyway. So they reached out, paid for the ticket, and talked about their zero-tolerance policy for discrimination of any kind. And about how they value inclusion for all guests, regardless of...
they got to say all that stuff. Well, at least they're trying to make it right.
Do you believe, though, that the flight attendant did this? This is 2018.
That is...
is someone
hard to
going
believe.
To say... I mean, I can understand them going and asking them, not assuming that they were a gay couple to begin with.
Yeah,
and thinking that you're just talking
to
two guys who may be just friends or something, and asking if they can move to accommodate a couple. I understand the...
yeah.
Originally approaching them. But as soon as you find out that they're a gay couple, I can't imagine a flight attendant saying, I'm sorry, that's not real.
Unless that flight attendant was anti-BLT.
I don't think you can get away with that joke anymore.
Joke?
Yes.
Bisexual, lesbian, transsexual, what? I'm not joking about anything.
I don't think transsexual is a term anymore.
Bisexual, lesbian...
see,
Train spotting?
Oh, my gosh, dude.
All right, birthdays?
All right, birthdays today. We have Max Wright from Alf and Norm.
Boy, now that was a show.
He's
that
75.
Alf. He's one of the Wright brothers.
What about Norm? That was Norm McDonald's show.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember ever watching it. But wasn't Max Wright, was he not the dad on Alf that got in trouble with meth and young boys?
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Butch Patrick is 65.
Eddie Munster.
That's correct.
Genius.
Mojo Nixon is 61. And she's running for governor up there in New York. Or mayor. Victoria Jackson.
Wait a minute.
What?
Cynthia Mojo Nixon?
Yeah.
What'd you call her?
I'm
Mojo?
Assuming her middle name is Mojo. Well, it just says Mojo Nixon here.
Okay, well...
no, Mojo Nixon's a singer. Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live, 59. And she's real crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actress Apollonia is 59. Dated Prince.
Mm-hmm.
Mary Louise Parker, 54. Director, actor Kevin Smith from Clerks and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. He's 48. Lost a lot of weight recently. Remember, he's the one who publicly said he was about to lose weight because he just broke a toilet.
Yeah.
Edward Furlong, 41. Haley Eisenberg, 26. And guess who would have been 86 years old today? A friend of the show. Famous NFL owner.
Lamar Hunt?
Lamar Hunt.
What
big
a sweet
P1.
Man he was.
He would have been 86.
Such
today.
A nice man.
A great man.
Yep, today.
All right, that's Muse, 734 on the ticket. And this is always entertaining. He's joined us for three or four training camps in a row now here in California. And we send him out to interview famous Dallas Cowboys, and he has this report for us. It's Dr. Vaginissimus, Gordo.
Yes, and I really hope that everything has been bleeped in this, because it got a little rough as Dr. Vaginissimus interviewed Daniel Ross. Daniel Ross, player, the very man. Famous player man.
This is Science and Its Implications for the Curious. I'm Dr. Maunston Canterbury Vaginissimus III. And today we focus on the sport contest of football. And I'm here with the very famous D. Ross.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, you heard with the famous D. Ross, man. You heard it from him.
Welcome, modern gladiator.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, as all my listeners know, all of life, all our human existence, the tender and the terrifying, the remarkable and the bloody, the masculine, the feminine, the rapturing, and the pernicious, is merely the dressed-up synthesis of colliding atoms in an impersonal and uncaring void of suffering and unknowability.
Yeah.
So, what the f*** are you doing in Oxnard?
To get out of the heat of Dallas, man, it's like 95 and it's 77 here, man. What a breeze.
The heat in Dallas is bull, isn't it?
Oh, man, there was 1 week where we had like 115 to 110, 108, 104, 108.
I hear you. Yes. I want you to know, D. Ross, that just like you, I've often explored the thin line between orgasm and death. And also, I want you to know that I explored it most recently, right before I shook your hand.
Yeah. How'd it feel? Did it feel great?
Isn't that exciting?
Yeah. That's...
Now, what position are you?
Oh, I play defensive tackle.
In relation to Alpha Proxima, or the moon Ios?
I don't know that position, but on this field, I play D-tackle.
As a football contester, do you find you organize your gameplay around the principles of enzymes and substrates or other neurotransmitter catalysts and reactants, or do you just try to hit people until shit comes out of their ass?
I try to hit people until shit comes out of their ass and blood comes out of their mouth, man.
As a large professional athlete, what is the relative size of your leavings?
Oh, man, about 6'5", about like 300, you know, solid, you know.
That's the size of your dung?
Yep. Yep. The size of a f***ing elephant.
God! As an apprentice, I once sojourned into the unforgiving countryside toward the provincial hamlet of Summerside-on-Dorset, armed with only a pint of my own urine and a sharpened hickory stick and a copy of The Lost Writings of Maureen McCormick.
That's what you survived on?
Indeed.
Mm.
Once there, I entered the hut of a peasant woman who had recently been widowed after a rather onerous spot of plague. And in the basin beside the wood-fired stove, I saw the stirrings of a malnourished infant. Swaddled in the indifferent rags of a consumptive's medical waste.
Oh, wow.
No doubt the child's fetid inheritance from a departed father.
At least he has some out of it.
The widow was comely, D. Ross. Comely.
Comely?
Comely. And I felt a stirring in my loins that I had not experienced since the first flickering of the Magic Mike daguerreotype. Theaters recently.
Oh, wow.
And I knew that if I committed the rather reasonable act of infanticide, it would dry the woman's breast and send her back into estrus, where I could effect an obliged gestation of my issue.
Dang.
I noticed there on the hearth a skinning knife used on the local possums. I saw my opportunity, D. Ross, and you know what I did when that knife came in contact with the alabaster skin of the woman's neck.
What did you do?
Nothing.
Good.
I left her there with her milk-strained bosom, and I took the baby, jumped in my Yaris, and drove to Manchester to see if Smith's cover band.
How did that go about?
It was all right.
Okay.
Didn't quite hit the Johnny Marr licks, but I returned the baby the next night after I taught it integers.
What? Integers.
So you're looking forward to the blue and white scrimmage?
Oh, yeah. Very much, very much. Looking forward to it.
What's your favorite color?
Navy, to be honest. anything in the blue, you know, neutral color zone, I'm pretty cool with that.
Mine is either bile duct green or circumcision red.
What?
Is Dak your favorite quarterback on this team?
Yes, most definitely.
Oh, how unimaginative and
right?
Charming.
It's yes. So crazy.
Wonderful.
I had a curious question, and the answer's comprehension lie just beyond my grasp, so I seek your assistance. The inquiry was put to me, what do you call a guy with a small penis?
A coward.
Oh. I heard the answer was...
What do you call him? I don't know.
AJ McCarron. We're running out of time, D.
Oh,
Ross.
Wow, no.
So repeat after me.
Okay.
I am nobody.
I am nobody.
I am a master of the perineum.
I am the master of the perineum.
I love only because I hate.
I love only because I hate.
What's that weird voice you're doing?
I don't know.
Well, thank you. That was Science and Its Implications for the Curious, with an emphasis on the invalids and the insane. I am Dr. Vaginismus. Thank you, dear.
Nice to meet you.
There you go. Boy, nice chemistry between those two. D. Ross really got a kick out of the doctor.
Yeah, he did. Usually they're a little bit more fearful of the doctor.
I'm rooting for D. Ross to make this team now. He seemed like a happy-go-lucky guy.
He did. He was in a great mood, apparently.
All right, Gordo. Funny stuff. 8:47 on the ticket.
Cowboys training camp in Oxnard. Time for Gordo's Corner, brought to us by Lunazul Tequila.
Thank you so much, Craig. Okay, before we get to absolute sorriness, I figured that I would give you a little treat, a little audio treat. Craig, somehow out here, has befriended Rick Skinlonen.
Oh, my God.
So much so that
do
Rick
it every
is
hour.
Sending private messages to Craig.
He sent me two yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, we already heard him.
I don't know why he's targeted me.
So let's listen to a little of what Rick sent Craig.
Hi, Craig. Do you know what one of my friends can do? He can beatbox. It's so cool. We wrote a rap melody together. It's called Use Your Manners.
That was. Oh, I received that via text message yesterday. That little voice audio file.
Wait, George, what? You're not even smiling.
I've already heard it.
Yeah, but you didn't smile with the first time you heard it.
All day long, I hear it on the show. I hear it off the show. It won't leave me alone. You won't leave me alone. Stop it.
What do you mean, me? It's not me.
Yeah. You're generating that ridiculous voice.
It's Rick, and he's so sweet.
He's sending me the messages, and I'm enjoying them. Come on, have fun with
keep it
George?
Between you. You guys enjoy it. Don't whip everyone else with it. Keep it between you.
Hold on.
Wait, what was that?
Hear this one. This is the other one that he sent you yesterday, Craig.
Do you know what my favorite thing to do is? Be nice to people.
He's such a nice guy.
He's so sweet. And don't you think, you have to admit, it's pretty cool that he has a friend that can beatbox. And they write rap melodies together.
The worst rap melody ever, Use Your Manners.
It's the least popular gangster rap song of all time.
Hi, Craig.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what one of my friends can do? He can beatbox. It's so cool. We wrote a rap melody together. It's called Use Your Manners.
Oh, gosh. I don't care who you are. Even if you're George Dunham, that's funny. That's funny,
no,
right?
It is funny.
I don't think so.
Mm-hmm. All right, a tale of absolute sorriness. Republican Illinois State Senator Nick Sauer, who is a member of the State House Sexual Discrimination and Harassment Task Force. I want to be on a task force.
I thought
You're
we
not
were.
Reliable enough.
We're on Strike Force, but is that a task force?
And I'm on Space Force.
What's the difference in being on a committee and a task force?
Same thing.
Is it?
I think a task force is more serious.
Oh, I think. How do you judge that?
I think a task force is actually working on the problem, where a committee discusses ways to work on a problem.
Wait, what's the difference in working on a problem and discussing working on a problem?
It's a huge difference.
When it comes to politics?
There's a
huge difference.
I get
it when it sounds
difference.
Like you're getting it when it comes to done. Building a car. Yeah.
There's a giant difference, and I don't have time to go into it.
It sounds like you're being a little more proactive if you have a task force.
I know. I think it's just a renamed
dressed
deal.
Up, yeah.
Yeah, it's dressed up.
Dressed up committee.
So, anyway, he is having to step down amid allegations. This is very weird, but he posed as his ex-girlfriend online and shared her nude photos without her consent. Now, he used her nude photos and posed as her in order to catfish other men. So he set up an account, some version of her name, and he would direct message with men with the photos that she had sent him. And he did it to engage in graphic conversations of a sexual nature.
Good guy.
So, what's that about? He's pretending to be a woman in order to get guys to have sexual conversations with him to get back at her? It can't be to get back at her, right?
I don't think so.
So, is this a revenge porn case? He's using her private photos in a way that she didn't intend, so you would think, okay, well, that's revenge porn.
Right.
But he doesn't appear that revenge is his motive here.
That's weird.
She says they met through Tinder after they matched up back in 2016. They started a long-distance relationship. They broke up this March because he was cheating on her with other women. And she says she first learned about this catfishing incident when a stranger reached out to her on Instagram and claimed that someone was impersonating her. When she confronted the Republican state senator, quote, "He came to my house and confessed to catfishing men with my photos for 2 years to at least eight men.
2 years?
He was unable to provide the names and begged that I just let it go." Of course she did.
So he just got off on this.
I'm sorry?
Right?
What?
I'm sorry?
Huh?
He got off on these charges?
Yeah. Did he catfish Manti Te'o?
That turned out to be a guy, too,
yeah.
If you remember correctly.
Manti? Yeah, is this the same guy? Are we now finding out?
No, it's not the same guy. But I wonder how common this
One
is.
One of the theories.
Because that's the thing that's always said, is that most of the women who are posting on certain sites are really men pretending to be women.
Yeah, I know that for sure. I mean, I've heard that for sure.
Yeah. I just want to know what's in it for them.
I don't know.
George?
Don't ask me.
You sure?
Why? Hi, Craig. Do you know what one of my friends can do? He can beat Bob.
Play a test pattern.
It's
we
so
get the same
cool.
Listener reaction.
We wrote a rap melody together. It's called Use Your Manners.
I'm sorry. Okay. It was a misfire. I apologize.
I'm with George Dunham. The Skinlonans are the worst thing in the history of radio. That's from Weird Violent Gordo.
What?
That's from Weird Violent Gordo.
It's not a real thing. And then, How about some life hacks? Do you follow any, like, life hacks, like forums on Reddit or subreddit like that?
No. I don't think so.
I always find these fascinating. So when you get up in the night to go to the bathroom.
Wee wee.
Here's a life hack for you. Keep one eye closed until you've turned off the bathroom light, then switch eyes to use the one that's already acclimated to the dark. So that way you're never light blinded.
I do that.
I do that too. Without ever hearing about it,
yeah.
I developed it my own.
Wow, that's pretty good.
I've always done that.
I've got one problem.
What?
I can only blink one eye.
What?
I've told you that before. I can only blink one eye.
When you blink, it's only one eye.
Yeah, as far as like going left, right, I can only go left.
You can only close your left eye.
Or both.
With leaving your right eye open.
Right.
Let's see you try to close just your right eye.
It looks ridiculous. You'll laugh at me. Okay, here's left. No problem.
Easy.
Can't do it.
You're faking that.
I swear I'm not.
You're faking that.
I can't just do my right.
Nobody cannot do that.
Everybody can close each eye individually.
I'm telling you, I'm not making it up.
Although, if you try to tell a child to wink, they seem to not be able to wink.
I wonder why.
I don't know. I guess it's something you really have to learn.
So easy.
Yeah,
but
I can't do my right
instinctive.
One.
Look at me. I'm going crazy.
Right Killer, one. Can you wink both eyes?
Yeah, he can.
He looks like you're really struggling.
I had to think about it.
Causing way too much brain power to be used up. Okay. I do this. I never read this, but I do this instinctively. Use your hands like a squeegee to wipe the water off your body before you get out of the shower. Do you do that?
No.
See, I don't understand how people can't do that.
Squeegee your body?
I always squeegee my body with
your
my hands. Yes, because otherwise it's like you're way too... It's putting too much water pressure on that towel.
You know what I do
That towel's overtaxed.
I turn the water off, and I will stand in the shower for like 2 to 4.5 seconds and kind of let everything run off me. Then I'll grab the towel.
Mm-hmm. But you just take your hands and just wipe down your arms, and you'd be amazed at how much water comes off of you.
Yeah, but then you get your hands all wet.
What? You're an idiot. Open a bag of chips. I've never tried this. I've read this probably a dozen times and never tried it. Open a bag of chips and roll the bottom so it creates its own self-standing bowl.
Huh.
No, I've never done that.
And also, if you roll down as you go, you never have to get crumb hand because you're doing the fish around in there.
Crumb hand.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You should roll down as you go, the top of it. And in a similar little life hack, you know when you're putting messy stuff in a Ziploc bag, you should roll it down, the top of it, the lip of it. Roll it down where you don't get any of your gunk. Yeah, in the tracks that it takes to seal up a Ziploc.
Okay.
Why didn't I think of that before? When the power goes out, how can you tell if your neighbor's power is also out? I've only known one way of doing this.
Look out the window?
Yeah, I always look at like their porch light or see if there's any lights on.
What about the houses behind you?
I look to see if their power is still on.
Right. How about this? Take your phone, open it up, and see how many wireless networks there are on it. If there are none, that means your whole block is out.
Okay. Interesting.
Huh.
Pretty interesting, huh?
Yeah.
Never thought of it. Saran wrap. You ever tried to use Saran wrap? It's one of the most frustrating things ever.
It doesn't cling.
It's not that great.
See, I think it does cling, but it clings when you pull it out of the thing, too. You'll always get crunch Saran wrap. It'll always fold in on itself because it clings to itself. And so it's so malleable. Malleable.
I thought that was the beauty of foil. It always clinged, but Saran wrap... The old commercials, sometimes plastic wraps cling, sometimes they don't.
Well, you're supposed to put it in your freezer, and it makes it work. It won't stick to itself, and it won't crumple when you try to tear off the sheet.
Hmm. Huh.
And then, of course, it warms up quickly in room temperature, but by the time you get it on the dish that you're...
It'll seal to the dish.
It will seal to the dish. Right. You ever put the can in the freezer in order to make it cold quickly, like the beer that you just brought
from
the store?
How long do you have before it blows up?
I swear to you, 70% of the time, I forget, and it always freezes, yeah. And you get can bulge, and you get
freeze can.
Yeah, freeze can. Well, this says that to make it get colder quicker, you wrap it in wet towels, wet paper towels. I've never done that.
Huh.
Do you ever send emails too early? Fire off an email, it accidentally sends before you finish doing it. You wanted to make some edits on it. You perhaps said a few angry things you didn't mean to that you were going to go back and take out.
No, I'm pretty good about waiting to hit send.
Yeah, I've been caught on this a few times. Something firing off before I intended it to. A lot of women complained about it.
Whoa.
It's actually not true. I have the opposite problem. But with emails, what you do is you don't fill out the recipient until the very last thing.
Oh.
That way it guarantees that you're not going to accidentally hit send.
That's a good idea.
On an email. Isn't that a fun fact?
That's fun.
That's a fun fact.
By the way, I've heard from a lot of P1s that have my same problem. Can only wink one eye. Or both.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Four or five people, yeah.
You know, I wonder if it's a genetic thing.
Maybe.
And not just a skill thing. Because I heard that rolling your tongue is a genetic thing.
Like rolling your R's? Or, curling your tongue?
No. Rolling your tongue. Like this. Mm-hmm. Making it into a straw.
It?
Yeah, you're doing it.
Okay. I can do that.
Yeah. I heard that some people cannot do that and that it's genetic.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
Killer, can you do that? Roll your tongue? Look at that. Yeah. You sure can. You didn't have to do the V fingers when you were doing that.
Only you do that.
You didn't have to do that.
You're the only one at the ticket that does that.
And this says, if you want to do a perfect high five, you got to look at the person's elbow. If you just focus on their elbow, you'll always connect on the high five. There is nothing more embarrassing to me than seeing two middle-aged guys try to high-five and they miss each other's hand.
I know.
And then they have to go up and try to do it again.
It's awful.
I saw this at the Social Tap, that restaurant we always go to. Table right next to me, these two guys. One of them was like, hey, we scored the Corolla, or whatever rental car it was. And the other guy was, oh, man, awesome. And they missed each other. And then one guy kept his hand up, waiting for the other one to come back and try to high-five again. That guy left him hanging. And then they finally did a high-five. And it was just like 5 seconds of pure whiteness, pure Caucasian, unadulterated Caucasian that embarrassed me tremendously.
It's bad.
So look at the elbow. All right, Giorgio, let's high-five. Look at the elbow. Look at my elbow. Come on.
Kay.
Ready?
Got it.
All right.
Man,
now
that
I'm going to try to throw you off. You ready? High five.
Still got it.
High five.
Oh!
You missed
it. I was looking at your elbow. You went all crazy on me.
I went all lateral on you. And you guys fear public speaking, right? Everybody fears
this. Yes. I hate it.
Now, I always do the opposite of this, but there's some logic to it. So if you're doing public speaking like in a group and each one has to go one at a time, you know, in the conference room or whatever, you each got to present your thing.
Have a couple pops.
No, that's what you do, and it makes me so nervous, because it's usually when we're driving to an event, is you go first. See, I always try to go later, because the idea is, well, I have more time to prepare. Well, I can see how other people are doing, and then I can make adjustments for how my presentation is going to go. This says, just go first, because then you greatly decrease your suffering. Because public speaking is all that suffering.
About waiting.
If you go first, you decrease all that worry. You can sit through the rest of the presentation, not have to worry about anything.
Yep.
And you are graded on a curve. People generally give the first people up. They don't think too much of them.
And there's a high likelihood that by the time you finish, the whole presentation finishes, they will have long forgotten whatever you did.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. They'll be focused on the most recent.
Yeah, whereas the last failure is the one that everybody was talking about. God, that was brutal. So you should go first.
Good idea.
Never
the waiting is the hardest part.
Okay, all right. I knew that was going to come up, and I was hoping that you wouldn't pick that low fruit, but you did. So life tips to end your week.
Pretty good.
Me likey long
time. Pretty good.
Right. Me likey long time. All right, that's the corner, 9:32 on the ticket. Coming up next, we ask David, is the NFL